Hey everybody, welcome to episode 6 of Real Weight Loss. Thanks to everyone who has been listening and subscribing so far. The first 5 episodes of this podcast were the big overall steps of weight loss as I have defined them. They were making the decision, how to choose a plan, making it a priority, beginning to exercise, and then sticking to your plan. I really hope that all of that has given you an overview of where you are and where you might be going. And you are still very welcome to send in any questions about those steps. You can send me an email or leave a comment on the blog, and I'll answer your question in my next podcast. The blog is at realweightlosspodcast.blogspot.com. Today we're going to talk about something that I think can be a big problem for a lot of people: hunger. It's easy to assume that in order to lose weight, you have to be hungry. But this really isn't true, and it's actually a bad idea. You'll never be able to stick to a plan if you're hungry all the time, and it's bad for your metabolism also. So we're going to go over some information about how you can eat fewer calories without being hungry. We're going to mostly discuss how you can do this by eating fiber and whole foods. When transitioning into a healthier diet, you can easily be hungry at first while your body adjusts and while you figure out your new foods. The problem is when you're continually hungry after that. This isn't right. You really don't have to be hungry. So, how can you lose weight without being hungry? The trick is to eat the right foods. And, amazingly, these are the foods that the planet provides us with a minimum of intervention from people. And it makes sense, really, that the food sources that are naturally available, without being processed through machines and who knows what else, and without having added chemicals, are better for us and more filling. These foods that are naturally available are real whole foods. So what are those? Whole foods are foods that are as close to their natural state as possible, in their whole condition. A whole apple or cucumber, for example. Any fruits and vegetables, whole grains, and beans are all excellent whole foods. On the other hand, processed foods are foods that have a lot of preservatives or have been processed into something other than their natural state. Food can be preserved with either chemicals or a large amount of salt. Frozen dinners are a really common example of this. Even if the food itself isn't so bad, it has a ton of salt in it to preserve it, which is not great. And as far as foods that are processed into something other than their natural state, just think that it doesn't resemble what it once was. Things like chips, candy bars, even energy bars, and white breads and pastas. These things don't grow in the wild. Bread, rice, and pasta are totally fine as long as they're made out of whole grains. Here's a passage from Wikipedia on refined grains. Refined grains, in contrast to whole grains, refers to grain products comprised of grains or grain flours that have been significantly modified from their natural composition. The modification process generally involves the mechanical removal of bran and endosperm, either through grinding or selective sifting. Further refining includes mixing, bleaching, and brominating. Additionally, thiamine, riboflavin, niacin, and iron are often added back in to nutritionally enrich the product. Because the added nutrients represent a fraction of the nutrients removed, refined grains are considered nutritionally inferior to whole grains. So, how ridiculous is that, right? They destroy what was naturally found in nature, and then to try to fix that, they try to enrich the product with extra nutrients, but they end up worse than what they started off with. And that's just one example. The same type of principle applies to most any food that you eat. So let's talk about how whole foods can help with hunger. Whole foods fill you up because of their fiber content. And as we just learned with grains, whole foods contain much more nutrition because it hasn't been processed out of it. It's also easier to digest. If you suddenly switched from a diet full of junk food to a diet of whole real foods, the weight would just fall right off of you. I wish I could go back 5 or 6 years and do that. I've made this transition over a long period of time, so I never experienced any quick weight loss from this. For me, I have to eat better and better all the time because my body has become so accustomed to this way of eating. One really cool thing about foods high in fiber is that they fill you up without added calories. Here's the reason. Your body doesn't digest fiber. It just passes through you. Because of that, it's like you're eating food for free and getting full for free while you're at it. So what foods are high in fiber? The biggest and best place to get fiber is from your fruits and vegetables. Because really, you can eat as much fruits and vegetables as you want. Of course, like anything, you don't need to stuff yourself. Just eat until you're satisfied. You can add fruits and veggies into almost anything to bulk them up and make them more filling for very low added calories. You can add fruits to cereal, yogurt, waffles, and you can make big smoothies out of fruit and milk or plain yogurt. You can add vegetables into soups and stews, salads, sandwiches, sauces, and you can do veggies with dips like hummus. On a more scientific note, fiber is good especially for slowing down the rate of sugar entering the bloodstream. That means that sugar isn't processed all at once, which would cause your pancreas to secrete an insulin surge to handle it all. This is what leads to sugar highs and lows, and after a long time of this going on in your body, you can develop type 2 diabetes. Another great way to make small, filling meals is to combine protein, good fat, and good carbohydrates. So let's briefly go over each of those. First, protein. I will always recommend a vegetarian diet, so I'm not going to suggest meat as a source of protein. And I won't go over all of the reasons why right now, but I do want to at least point out that meat has saturated fat and added steroids and hormones. Plant-based protein is a much better option, not only for weight loss, but for your overall health. Many people have been led to believe that meat and eggs are the only source of protein. The fact is that protein comes from many, many sources. Beans, nuts, seeds, rice, most all vegetables, and even some fruit has protein. Yogurt and soy yogurt has a high amount of protein. And any soy products are good sources of protein since they are made from soybeans. Second, where can you get good fat? In a nutshell, saturated fat, the bad fat, comes from animal sources, such as meat, eggs, and dairy. Unsaturated fat, which is the good fat, comes from plant sources, such as avocado, olives, olive oil, and nuts. Fats are high in calories, so you don't need a lot. If you cook with olive oil, you only need about a tablespoon or less. And if you're eating avocados, olives, or nuts, a little goes a long way. And they are all very filling. And third, carbohydrates. Fruit is a great source of carbs. In terms of things like rice, bread, and pasta, you want to focus on whole grains, as we've already discussed. So here's an example of something that I eat pretty often that has a combination of protein, good fats, and whole grains. I make what I call polenta nachos. Polenta is like a cornmeal, and you can get it pre-cooked in these little tubes. You slice it about 1/2 inch thick, and then you can either bake those or heat them up on the stove. And then I top those slices with black beans, avocado, salsa, and a little bit of cheese. I think I should throw in a couple disclaimers here. The first is that, even though I'm saying you don't have to be hungry, you also don't need to be stuffed. It's always best to eat just until you're satisfied. If you eat until you feel sick, you've gone too far. Even if you do this with fruits and vegetables, it's not the best plan. Secondly, I want to warn you that these foods we've been talking about, whole unprocessed foods that are high in fiber, will be digested much more quickly than the processed foods you might be used to. That means that even though they were filling when you ate them, you'll probably be hungry again after a shorter period of time than usual. Now, at first, that sounds like that's not going to be great, but this is actually a good thing. Eating smaller amounts, frequently throughout the day, is much better for your metabolism and your digestive system. Eating small meals about 5 or 6 times a day would be ideal. It can definitely be difficult to do that at first because everyone has busy schedules, but I think it really is worth it. And you can work up to that kind of thing, and after some practice and after adjusting to it, it will seem more normal. Some of the smaller meals can be more like snacks. It's not like you have to make a big production 5 or 6 times a day for each meal. Snacking is fabulous as long as you're not snacking on what might be labeled as snack food, like chips or cookies. And here are a couple extra thoughts. It's really important to eat foods that you like. Whenever I start a new food plan, for some reason I automatically think of baby carrots. I'm like, trying to lose weight? Okay, I guess I've got to eat baby carrots. And I'll have to eat them with low-fat ranch so that they don't taste like carrots. Because I just don't like carrots. And that's completely okay. Once I snap out of it, I realize that there are plenty of other things that I do like that I can eat. And really, trying to force yourself to eat something that you don't like really will keep you hungry because you probably won't eat enough of it. Finally, one of the trickiest aspects of hunger is when you find yourself feeling hungry at night after dinner. Usually, this is a trick. For most of us, dinner is our heaviest meal, and we are least likely to be truly hungry after that. If you think you're hungry, stop for a moment to assess whether you're hungry or whether something else is going on. This hunger could easily be boredom, loneliness, or stress left over from the day. I will often want cereal at night, even though I'm completely not hungry, maybe even pretty full. It's a comfort food, and I probably want sugar more than anything else. Interestingly, scientists have recently discovered that the hormone that regulates hunger also regulates your sleep pattern. That sort of makes sense, since the purposes of sleep and eating are similar, to give you more energy. What that means is that when you think you're hungry at night, you might just be tired, and it's time to go to bed. And that is it for me and hunger. I hope something in there was useful for you. I've come up with a couple fun things for you this week. First, you can add content to the next podcast episode by letting me know if you have any personal hunger tricks that work especially well. Leave a comment on the website, and I will include the best ideas at the beginning of the next episode. Also, I've added a poll to the website. I'm interested to find out what aspect of weight loss you have the most trouble with. Hunger, exercise, sticking to it, self-doubt, or something else. If enough people provide feedback through this poll, it will really help me figure out what to focus on for the next few podcasts, and even later on down the line. The website is at realweightlosspodcast.blogspot.com. And as always, if you would like to add to any of the things I've gone over in this episode or ask any questions, you can go to the blog and leave a comment or send me an email. And again, I really want to encourage everyone to leave a comment in iTunes. Right now, this podcast is just lost in the depths of the categories on iTunes, and nobody ever sees any of those. They only see the ones that iTunes features. So if enough people leave comments and do a rating and encourage other people to listen, then we might actually be noticed, and that would be awesome. So thanks again for listening, and keep up the good work.